maintenance in London, as I alluded to. So it's not necessarily a project, but it's to show that if we buy this infrastructure, these are the maintenance related costs of the infrastructure. One of the other key issues that we've raised with the department, as well as the other departments in the clusters as well who are participating on the CGS component, is that we look at the two programs as if they are two separate programs, when in fact they all contribute to one thing, which is the 7-point plan. So you've got an IJS component, which has got an IJS board. So the governance structure for the IJS is very clear, that it's got a board, it comprises of representatives from different departments, and. On the CJS component, we don't have that, because it's currently only allocated to SARS. And what we've said as the National Treasury is that we need to move away from looking at the two programs as if they're two separate programs, because they're actually one program. And that in the cluster, there should actually be one coordinating structure that is going to look at the whole CJS 7-point plan. One of the initial successes of the program, or why they were able to successfully lobby for funding in the past, is that it also had a political champion, which was the then Deputy Minister of the Department of Justice. So he was able to, I think, advocate for funding for the criminal justice system, being very clear about what the issues and gaps were. At the present moment, we don't have that because of this disaggregation in terms of how the funding is allocated, or this separation that we've created to say that IJS and CJS, meanwhile, is actually one thing. And then the other, I think, concern we've had with SAPS has been the non-submission of quarterly progress reports. As I indicated earlier, it is one of the conditions of the allocation, but we're not getting the quarterly progress reports when we are supposed to get them. So sometimes you'll get for quarter one, and then the next year we'll get it for quarter three. So those have been some of the discussions that we've been having with the department to try and correct. And then in terms of recommendations, so given what I've said about where we are now relative to where we were in 2007 when the money was allocated. So a lot of things have changed. Maintenance was not provided as part of the allocation. There have also been a lot of, I think, changes in terms of priorities in SAPS. What we've said with the 2018-19 allocation for SAPS is that instead of us continuing as we have been over the years and pretending that we are doing things right when we know that actually we are not using this money for the purpose for which it was intended, we said to the department as a condition in the allocation method, before you actually start spending the money for 2018-19, you need to go back to the JCPS chapter, the Portfolio Committee on Police, and ultimately even the Cabinet Committee on the JCPS, to actually request approval to formally change the project scope of the CJS, because there's no point in us saying the money was allocated to capacitate detective services and for the modernization and revamp of the subsystem if in fact the money is being used to buy consumables in forensic services, for example. So we've said to the department they need to be transparent about that, communicate it so that there can be a collective understanding that even though the money was intended to move at some point to other departments in the cluster, we must actually be able to indicate the relevant structures that the money is actually will no longer move, for the reason being that it has now been committed to other things in the department, which has become a priority over the years. So that has been the condition of the allocation. And we're also saying the second part of it is to say to the department that for all those recurring costs, instead of just including them in the plan as if they are projects when we know that they are not projects, they should also request approval to actually move that money formally to the baseline. And which would ordinarily mean that instead of us saying that investment into the CJS is 2 billion, we'll actually see maybe a reduction into about 1 billion, which would be talking to specific projects in relation to the CJS. So staff has not yet met conditions 1 and 2 of the allocation letter, which means that they have not been authorized to spend any money in relation to the CJS in 2018-19. And we are now at the end of October, which is going to mean that the department does run the risk of actually underspending significantly the allocation on the CJS, unless, of course, they can ensure that the first two conditions of the allocation letter are met. And then one of the other changes we've made is that, given the fact that I said that the allocations for all other departments are actually allocated on the vote of the Department of Justice, because the coordinating structure for the IJS is the IJS board and its reports to the Department of Justice. So one of the things that we're going to be doing starting on 1st of April 2019 is that we've actually removed the IJS component of that whole allocation to SAS, and we are also now going to be allocating it to the under the vote of the Department of Justice. SAPS will continue to have access to the funds, but what it means is that just like Home Affairs or Correctional Services, in the same manner that they access the funds by submitting project plans to the IJS board, SAPS will also now have to do that. And the intention behind that is to try and make the accountability for the IJS easier. Because if there's a component that's sitting in SAPS and another one that's sitting in Justice, it was creating this dualism in terms of reporting. So the intention was to correct that. As you noted earlier on, Chairperson, as well, the CJS has tended to be targeted for baseline reductions by the department because it's been notorious for underspending. From the National Treasury point of view, we've supported this program in the past, both in terms of funding and support we've given to the department, because we actually do believe that it is an important program for the department to have. So ideally, we do not want a situation where you allocate this billions of money and yet the money is not spent for the purpose that it was intended for. So we would like to see the whole program working in the department, and hence we are saying as a recommendation that the focus should be on making the program work and not reducing its allocation because we say that it is underspending. So that is a very important thing. And the other thing that we've also noticed that has been causing this underspending is that it seems that the planning for procurement is done as soon as the financial year starts. And we are recommending that where we know that we're going to be making big procurements and we have to follow the SCM process, we need to at least do that a year in advance, because there is some element of predictability in the allocation. There have not been significant changes in the allocation for the department not to be able to do this planning in advance. So it is important that to try and improve the spending, we can't start with the procurement processes in the second quarter of the financial year when we knew that we were going to procure for a certain project in 2018-19, for example. So there needs to be that improvement in terms of how we actually plan for our big procurements. I've mentioned the issue of the quarterly reports and the need to make sure that those are submitted at the time that they are submitted, because the quarterly reporting process is also intended for us to be able to see what is not working during the course of the year, what are some of the decisions that can be taken in terms of reprioritizing the funds within the scope of the CJS program. So that would be another thing. There have been issues that have been raised by the Auditor General, in the media, by Treasury as well, which are in relation to non-adherence to supply chain management and PFMA prescripts. So that's another area I think the department would need to be very stringent on in terms of making sure that there is compliance in relation to that, so that we don't sit here and talk about issues of irregular expenditure and so forth. I think the last bullet I've spoken to. And then just in terms of the final slide, we also saying as the National Treasury that there is a need for the department to refocus the program. We think that we're trying to do, and maybe the problem is that there's 2 billion. Maybe we need to reduce the 2 billion to 500 million to try and get the department to narrow the focus of this program. Focus on one thing, do it come up with outputs in relation to that, and then we move on. Because what has been happening over the past few years is that there's been a lot, there's a lot that's going on. If you look at the project plan for the CJS, it's a long list of projects, but you're not really able to see what is the outcome of all of that. So one of the things that we've proposed to the department as well, which also wanted to highlight as a recommendation here, is the fact that I think it's important to narrow the scope of the program, identify a few high-impact projects and implement them successfully before you can move on to the next phase and so forth, instead of wanting to do everything at the same time. We are also saying that if, in fact, the issue is around the capacity in the department, then the relevant units in SAPS would need to be capacitated in order to effectively deliver on these projects. We need to have clear timelines about what the deliverables you want to see. Some projects, PICM and ACES, they've been going on for years, and this year they are maintaining. 3 years from now, then it becomes a reinvestment into the capital requirement. So we need to be able to set clear timelines for projects to say that this is when this project is starting and this is when it's going to end, and then now we are talking maintenance. So it would then move away from being included in the project plans, because now it becomes part of the normal operations of the department. So there needs to be that improvement as well in terms of being clear about what the timelines for implementing various projects are. And then as I mentioned, I think as a cluster, it is important to have that single coordination structure that is going to look at the CJS 7-point plan as a whole. And where, which is the current situations, you've got structures that are looking at different aspects of this, the PMO in SAPS, the PMO in the IJS board, and the IJS board. We may need to consolidate all of those into one structure that's going to oversee the whole implementation of the CJS 7-point plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's an excellent presentation, but also a very sobering experience to think that it's 6 billion rand later, and then to say what is the outcome. It reminds me of a parent who sends the child to the sports day and say the money's for the lunch at the sports day, and he's come back with toys, but no, he's hungry. So that is maybe the equation we must indicate. But I think it is quite clear that originally it was earmarked for detective services, and currently it's less than 5% to 5%. And that's totally unacceptable, totally unacceptable. For instance, just two projects, say for instance the issue of the CCTV cameras with the body cams, what can you do with 6 billion rand if you properly plan? But most of the issues is now actually line function or line items, if I listen carefully to what the National Treasury has said. But members will give a proper time for interaction. Let's get General Fazi's version. You're welcome, sir.
Thank you, sir. I think in our presentation, the General Nelson will be, actually the person will be presenting. Maybe perhaps in the process of presentation, we might be responding to some of the questions that have been raised. Then without any waste of time, let me allow General Nelson to present, and then after the presentation, we'll take it from there. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, General Fazi. General Nelson, you're welcome.
Honourable Chairperson, honourable members, thank you for the opportunity to present the IJS-CJS portfolio to the committee. The presentation overview, I will be talking about the stakeholders and the link to the 7-point plan, the link of the CJS projects to the 7-point plan, the financial performance, the integrated justice system plan, projects and status, project impact, recurring commitments, and the way forward. And Chairperson, we've structured the presentation for a particular purpose in order also to give some feedback in terms of the achievements of the amounts invested over the years, the interoperability and modernization that we've invested, the detective service, forensic services, skills development in the detectives, the modernization hostile detective environment. If we move then to section one, talks about the stakeholders and the link to the 7-point plan. Now, the crime prevention, national crime prevention strategy developed in 1996 consisted of four pillars: the national programs, that's the criminal justice process, reducing crime through environmental design, public values and education, and transnational crime. Now, the IJS, the integrated justice system, was birthed out of pillar one of the national crime prevention strategy to modernize the entire criminal justice system. And the research by the Mwele Consortium produced a report on conceptual issues and approach in 1998. Then in 2003, the integrated justice system was then conceptualized. It was a joint venture that was established between with the departments in the justice, crime prevention, and security cluster. Now, as indicated by Ms. Khadebe from Treasury, the IJS program is governed by the IJS board, comprising of departmental representatives collectively mandated with responsibility to execute the modernization program under the JCBS cluster DG's forum and in accordance with the IJS program plan. Therefore, there is collective decision-making within that governance structure, where they agree on the implementation, the projects, and then also the feedback and reporting mechanism to Treasury to the IJS board. Now, if we look at the IJS program governance structure, it comprises the IJS board attended by business and IT heads, program management forum attended by project management and personnel from each department, architecture steering committee attended by systems and architects from each department. Now, what's the linkage between the IJS and the CJS? Now, due to the budget shortfalls within the IJS allocation, a review of the criminal justice system was done and approved by Cabinet in 2007, with certain key priorities and outcomes were then approved by Cabinet at that point in time. So this resulted in the CJS program conceptualized 2007 with a 7-point plan. At that in time, and it's important to note this by the honorable members, that the SAPS then submitted the request for additional funding in relation to point 4, 5, and 6 of the 7-point plan for increased personnel in the detective service, in the forensic services environment, increased facilities and equipment in the laboratories and the detective services, attraction, retention of experienced and skilled staff, so it's HR development, training of detectives, introduction of scarce skills allowances in those environments, relooking, regrading of entry levels in the forensic services environment, it's specific targeted investments in specific environments and SEPs. So the Office of the Criminal Justice System Reform commenced with the implementation of the 7-point plan during 2008 under the auspices of Deputy Minister de Lange. Now, the departure of Minister de Lange resulted in the program, the CJS governance fading out from the Department of Justice perspective. Currently, the Criminal Justice System program does not have a formal governance structure, and I think that was also indicated now by Treasury from the cluster perspective, from a governance perspective, holistically. Then, Chairperson, if we can look at the IJS objectives and priorities, and this background that I'm giving is to demonstrate in terms of the priorities and the outcomes, and when we look in terms of the achievements, then I want us to relate back in terms of the initial objectives and the priorities set and approved by Cabinet at the point in time. The objective for the integrated justice system was to electronically enable and integrate the end-to-end criminal justice business process, that is from the report of the crime to the release of a convicted person, through technology solutions and improved business processes, and secondly, to manage the related interdepartmental information exchanges across the CJS. Now, the priorities was the criminal justice system, a single person identifier, so we will look at the projects and come back to these, we look at the person identification, verification application, including criminal record fast check, the case-related integrations, the 28 KPI dashboard, the single transversal database for the cluster statistical requirements. Now, the differentiation between the criminal justice system and the IJS as a contribution to the implementation of the CJS point plan can be illustrated there by indicating that the IJS program talks to system integration, where the CJS then talks to capacity and technology. It's important that one just note that. National Treasury ring-fenced allocations being noted to the bottom of the slide. Now, I'm not going to into detail in terms of the seven-point plan, just to indicate that Pillar 4 talks to improved capacity. It talks about the national CJS IT database and systems, and modernize in an integrated, holistic manner all aspects of systems and equipment of the CJS. On the next slide, Jefferson, we've linked now the, and it's a bit small, and I apologize, we tried to give a holistic picture, but I'll summarize it on a very high level. To give you the indication, Treasury also indicated that essentially SAPS prioritized four environments in the department. Remember the integrated, the forensics, the investigations. If we look from a perspective like yesterday's incident here at Seapoint, where you have your forensics, you have your crime scene management, you go to the forensics, you need your skilled detectives to secure the crime scene. You need training and development. You need your technology management services in terms of the forensic capacity in order to perform procedures in order to achieve an outcome within a few hours of time. It's an integrated, holistic approach in terms of the investigative process. So if we... if we talk about modernization and the detective services, one should recognize the fact that it's an integrated, holistic process. So in terms of the division, forensic services, compliance in terms of legislation, and Chairperson, we've seen the DNA Act being implemented with requirements in terms of crime scene management and far-reaching implications in terms of modernization and the application and to ensure the compliance in terms of that. To enhance the capability to secure crime scene, to investigate and collect crime scene evidence, the ability to capacitate to process greater volumes of crime scene evidence in fingerprint and scientific laboratories. Now that is expensive processes that we've seen through the implementation of the process. Improved ability to package and present the results. Improved information technology systems to support the tasks associated with crime scene evidence and speedier availability of comprehensive criminal records of accused from the first appearance to sentence of sentencing if applicable. Then the Division of Technology Management Services. Now we talk about information communications technology, infrastructure sites modernized, implemented and maintained. So we are looking at modernized systems, the capacity of the network and the hosting infrastructure in order to allow for this volumes of data then also to be processed. Information solutions developed, the governance implemented and approved, and then we go to the human resource development. We have the training and development of the detectives and the detective learning program. So we have the disciplines in terms of the development of the detective learning from your basic general detectives, organized crime, commercial crime, your DPCI, and then in the forensic services itself. So this money was utilized to develop the skills of the detectives and is currently ongoing in terms of the legislation, the disciplines required for effective investigation of crime. Then in the detective service, and this is the contentious specific observation by the Auditor General also, and I've referred that also with our peering in terms of that, where the modernization of the CJS, cabinet-approved the modernization, the capacity and concomitant resources of the detective service. There's specific reference in the cabinet memorandum and the approval to vehicles, computers, cell phones and the skills development of detectives. Now those fine cabinets that the committee members noted at Centurion when they had to visit there, those fighting cabinets were purchased from this specific source. There's a whole list, and I'm going to give you some progress in terms of the implementation of what we have used this money to modernize the detective services. We talk about the fighting...
Sorry, General Nelson, but I mean, that is the dilemma, and that's what Treasury is saying. I mean, line budget line items like cabinets must be on your main budget. These are specifically aimed at ensuring that you focus on your capacity building, your e-learning, and of course, in terms of modernization, in terms of your IT framework. But, I mean, a lot of the focus have shifted to line budget items. That's our concern, is all about it.
I also don't see how you modernize with a cabinet, you know.
It seems the funds have become an all-purpose vehicle, you know, and that's the dilemma, because if those environments have been capacitated effectively, then you wouldn't have that problem. And I mean, the bulk of this, I don't know, but the bulk of this project is maybe also linked to the SCOPA project. I'm not sure if that's correct in terms of the technology, but I mean, that's the dilemma, the scope.
Thank you, Jefferson. Then we can move to the next slide. On the next slide, the recommendations, just going to summarize them. The increase in the number of detectives, the annual intake to be increased, the increased number of crime scene forensic experts that we have increased, we've enlisted additional and we've regraded the level for them to retain and to have experienced forensic experts, the increase in appropriate detective and forensic training, and then also the increase in facilities and equipment to be utilized in the detective environment. Jefferson, then we move to section two. We look at the linked projects in terms of that. Now the IHS value chain, I will not go into details. This is essentially for the purpose of the members just to see the IHS value chain in terms of the process from where crime is committed up to the integration into society. On the next slide, we look at the review of the desired outcomes there, just to highlight that. That is the overall outcomes in terms of that, where there's requirement that could result in a modernized criminal justice system with a single vision and mission leading to joint objective priorities and performance measurement across the cluster and elimination of present misaligned priorities and targets. Now, if we look at the financial performance in Section 3, on the next slide, on slide 15, you will note the MTF allocations of the current MTF cycle, the current financial year going to 2021. There's been reviews in terms of that, but let me just focus on the current financial year. In terms of the four environments in SAPS, the technology management services, $747 million, the human resource development, $67 million, the detective service, $48 million, and the forensic services, R580 million. Now, the IHS portion, the $250 million, is in addition to this, but the IHS, I will come to that in the subsequent slide. Then on the next slide, Chairperson, and I must apologize, it seems with the conversion to the printable document, the percentages are not reflected in. But just to also reiterate, for Treasury indicated the 100% spending on the CJS for 2013-14, 14-15, 15-16 we've spent more, 16-17 we spent 101%, and last year, as Treasury also indicated, the bit of a lower spending in terms of the CJS environment. But you'll also note the substantial decrease in terms of the allocation of the multi-year period. And so these are the spending performance by the department. We've ensured that we ensure utilization in terms of this. Then if we look at the IHS portion, Now, we should remember that the RGS portion comprises two parts. It's your sub-specific projects, and then there are transversal projects, essentially from the Department of Justice side. Now, we also note there the 100% spending in 13-14, 14-15, 15-16, 16-17, a bit of a more spending, and then the previous financial year, a bit of a lower spending in terms of that, and the indication, the rationale, the reason being provided by Treasury in terms of that. So from the IJS perspective, the department's been able to spend, and remember the IJS portion, the projects, the execution, and the governance structure to ensure that the spending be targeted in accordance with the purpose thereof. On the next slide, Chairperson, the budget reductions being introduced. Now, from the SAP side, the National Treasury, on a continuous basis, annually reduced the baseline for the criminal justice system. We've seen baseline reductions. I'm not going into details, but you will note there that it's quite substantial with a carry-through effect. Current financial adjustment estimate, 150 million rands being baseline reduction introduced in the current financial year, and also over the MTF, substantial amounts that have moved to other departments and also then for other purposes. Mm-hmm. And the CJS shift to IPID for over the next 3 years, and I mean the money was moved then to IPID to service their accruals in terms of their baseline, where the other allocations to Home Affairs are in accordance with the 7-point plan. Now, on the next slide, Chairperson, we talk about the conditions set by National Treasury for the utilization of the funding. Now, as indicated, and the Treasury reiterated the fact that National Treasury is of the opinion that over the years, the CJS program within SAP has been expanded to incorporate the other components, which were initially not part of the approved project scope and inception, and that SAPS must submit a revised project scope for the implementation of the CJS 7-point plan, outline then the new project components, and then the funding earmarked for the recurring commitments to be then accommodated within the baseline allocation of the department. And on condition two, the SAPS proposal to shift funding needs to be endorsed by JCBS Cluster and Cabinet, so a requirement there that the full cabinet sitting in terms of the JCBS cluster departments where these projects and the scope then presented and approved by cabinet as a requirement before SAPS can vest any of the expenditures incurred already in the current financial year against the project. So then on the next slide, Chairperson, there's the indication of the IJS portion, and the IJS portion is about 250 million. This will now, National Treasury took the decision to move the full amount now to justice as from next year, so that will not be part of our baseline. There are risks associated with that from the SAP side. There are projects continuing, so it will be based on a cost recovery basis. So SAPs will have to incur and then claim from Justice Department. And on the CJS portion, 1.4 billion current financial year, note the 150 million baseline reduction in the adjustment estimate for the current financial year. Chairperson, on the next slide, what we've done, we've unpacked the vote sets. Take away the 77% compensation, the public works devolved portfolio, the capital assets, the transfers and subsidies, and then the 2%. 1.6 billion rand CJS allocation, then the remaining operational funds 12%. So therefore this decision by the JCPS cabinet approval to redirect those basic elements to the baselines of importance that we then focus on the projects as such. So that's just the indication in order to accommodate that. The section 4, Chairperson, we now go to the project expenditure and status and the CJS allocations. So now the SAP specific projects and the transversal project. So there's been pressure from the Department of Justice that that money be moved to justice, and that has been agreed to. Let's look at the IGS program achievements on a very high level. Chairperson, SAPS has delivered its 6 key performance indicators in relation to the 28 IGS KPIs to the IGS Transversal Business Intelligence of the dashboard that they talk about. So we've achieved all 6 of them. That was the SAPS responsibility. The investigation case docket management system has been developed and implemented at 1,144 police stations. The property control and exhibit management system, PCAM, has been implemented at all forensic science laboratories to manage, track and trace exhibits. It's been audited, the Auditor General was there, they performed an audit on this. And in addition to that, the National Forensics DNA Database has been developed and implemented in phases within the forensic services laboratories, which enable compliance to the DNA Act. Critical system integrations have been developed and implemented between SAP systems and other IGS departmental systems through the establishment of the service integration bus. The necessary ICT infrastructure has been upgraded and implemented at identified IGS priority police stations to enable the implementation of the systems necessary for the IGS process. Now, before we move on to I would like just to give a quick indication, just some of them in terms of the integrations that were achieved. We talk about all SAP systems that were integrated, where we created the endpoint to enable integration between the systems integration bus and the SAP systems. The whole criminal administration system and the investigation case document management system, where that has been integrated in terms of that. The integrated case document management system is still in the process of being implemented. Then also the PCAM, the integrations provide for information to the user obtained from the systems to verify the details, firearm owners and firearm licenses, also to determine the firearm recorded on the PCAMs being circulated. So there are quite a number of the honor system from Home Affairs. And just move on to the next slide there, Chairperson, on the planned projects expenditure and the status for the current financial year. Now, those are the projects for the integrated justice system. It's the DNA database. On the next slide, so I'll go to the purpose for each one of those. Identity and access management, integrated person management, the ICDMS, investigate case document management system, administer case, and also the investigation case, the national photo image system, service integration bus, services orientated architecture advancement, the IGS program management, which also being funded in the justice side from the SAP side in terms of program management, the repository, the mobile applications, and then the AFIS system decentralization and replacement. Now, the difference between 126 million, the allocated amount, is the portion that deals now with the transversal at the Justice Department. But also, Chairperson, this particular investment created about a 45 million rand recurring commitment in terms of the service level agreements and maintenance and support of these systems that were implemented. So therefore, as agreed, we haven't accommodated those recurring commitments in the project scope as yet. It's part of should be diverted. Then each one of these, we give an indication. I will not go into the detail of each one of these, Chairperson. It gives an indication of the planned deliverables for the current financial year in terms of the procurement and the spending performance. So what we are doing currently, the department's continuing with these and spending against the normal baseline in terms of all of these projects. But we are not allowed to vest these against the project funding until such time that the approval's been obtained. So it's not that the department's continuing in terms of the planning and the execution and the recurring commitments. Those are running as we speak currently. And so the business outcome, I'll just refer to those, enable the speedy generation of the SAP 69 reports for bail hearings and sentencing at the local criminal record centers, and then we give an indication of the deliverables for the current financial year where the focus will be. Then on the next slide, we go to the AFIS replacement. There's no funding required for this financial year in terms of the AFIS replacement. On the next slide, Chairperson, slide 28, we talk about the National Forensic DNA Database, where the development of the solution to enhance DNA cases analysis, generating DNA leads to improved case linkages within the Division of Forensic Services. So anticipated spending will be about 9 million rand. So we've also indicated the achievements where we've implemented the modules on the mainframe systems and the progress as currently. Then for the on slide 29, the integrated person management. This is where we manage the arrested persons in SAP's holding cells by identification, verification, decrease wrong person releases, increase success rate wanted persons, controlling movement, and in and out of cells. So this project initiative, intended spending is 10.7 million rand, and then the corrective measures in terms of the progress as we speak. Then on slide 30, we talk about the investigation case docket management system, administer case, which will enable scanning of the case dockets, statements, correspondence, for example, your forensic report, that's creating an electronic version of the case document with an indication of the deliverables for this financial year, where the request for information to be published, the bid specification to procure digital pens, pilot 50 digital pens to test the feasibility of scanning capability at 10 police stations. The indication is about half a million that will be spent on this thing, Chairperson, the 20.5 million on the investigation case docket management system, investigation case. So this is a CETA procurement. CETA has been appointed on 31 August this year, and the confirmation of the business requirement specifications in progress as we speak. Then on the national photo image system, no funding required for this year. So these projects remain on the list as specific projects. Then on slide 33, Chairperson, we talk about identity and access management. The expected business outcome will be the establishment of the SAP's identity and access management capability to enable single sign onto all SAP systems and identify system users. No funding for the current financial year. OJF program management is also a recurring to provide for professional services. Then on slide 35, we talk about the SAP's IJS repository, where the expected outcome essentially will be an updated business model available for SAP's IJS projects in an integrated knowledge base. So 5.5 million rand will be spent in the current financial year on this particular project. Then the service-orientated architecture advancement to improve the governance and quality of the SAP's crime data, 8.4 million rand intended to be spent for this financial year. So there are the achievements currently in terms of the architecture assessment by CSIR has been completed, and then the draft project charter that's been developed. Then the slide 37, the SAP's crime reporting mobile app, where we will enable citizens to access SAP's information and services through a mobile channel, and 6.4 million to be spent in the current financial year. Phase one of the modules developed and available on the Google App Store testing platform, and the service level agreements already been finalized on 5 October 2018 by SAP. Then on the service integration bus, expected outcome there to maintain the service integration bus capability for SAP to enable system integration between the applicable SAP systems and in the other departments, 58 million rand to be spent, and there's dependency on the Department of Justice in this regard with the delays in finalizing the design specification documents by the Justice Department. So this being escalated to the IJS board in the next sitting now in November. Then the chairperson, just on the IJS side, we talk about investments. Now, if we look at the National Treasury referred to what we've spent on the IJS side, from the SEPs and the other departments' perspective, there's a reference being made to 6 billion rand. Now, from the action request for service solution, the incident reporting management resource deployment, SEPs spent 188 million rand since inception. What have we done? Action request for service solution implemented at 21 centers. We've integrated with the GIS and the ABL, the vehicle location system, and resource dispatching capabilities. On this investigation case docket management system, the registration administration case docket, 656 million has been spent. We've implemented it in 1,154 police stations and it's linked to 465 courts and NPA offices. 7.4 million dockets scanned on the administration case system, integrated with the NPA and the Department of Justice and the Legal Aid Board. So, Chairperson, there are quite a number of them and I will not go into the details of them. The National Forensic DNA Database, 11 million rand spent, the interim database and sporting modules being implemented for the capturing of the vehicle sample functionality that's available on the crime administration system and the case docket management system. So there are quite a number of these, and if need be, I can come back to those investments and the returns that we've achieved with the IJS portion. Now, if we look at the criminal justice system, the technology management system, the projects for the current financial year, and these projects were all submitted to the National Treasury before March this year for consideration and approval. The CCTV and access control, public spaces surveillance solution, the CCTV that we spoke about, the access control at DPCI, CCTV and access control at SAP stations and SAP buildings, access control at the fire ammunition warehouse, then the ICT infrastructure, the LAN and WAN upgrade to ensure that the infrastructure then can deal with the upgrade modernization of the equipment from technology perspective. Then the storage capacity at the bureaus, at Maneras, and a disaster recovery capability, electronic planning drawing, labware at the forensic science laboratory, crime investigation tools for detectives, tough pads and rugged notebooks for crime scene investigators, field terminal devices, command centers, unmanned aerial vehicles and drones, service complaint system and barcode scanners as a requirement in terms of the DNA Act. So the intended spending for this year is about 752 million rand. So Chairperson, then I'm not going into the details in terms of each one of these projects. There's an indication of them and where we are in terms of this. Just to indicate and to reiterate the fact that the department is busy with the preparation in order to ensure utilization, and the procurement processes are underway in terms of each one of these specific projects. And the bid specifications that's been published in some certain of them, and that the process will then unfold. So therefore, it will take us then to the slides, and I think we can go to slide 47 there, also in terms of the ICT infrastructure, the big amount, 370 million rand, and where we said the expected business outcome will be the upgrade and capacitation of the approved police stations operating on obsolete infrastructure to get them to an acceptable SAP standard. And this is also a procurement process where CETA is responsible to ensure a procurement vehicle in terms of this. we've noted this for quite some time from that perspective in terms of the network upgrades. Then there are field terminal devices to enable police stations, railway units, ports of entry and operational units to test the status of firearms, wanted persons, stolen cell phones, motor vehicles, as well as fingerprint testing against the wanted database. Then the upgrading of the storage and discovery, the availability of reduced response times for data access and data storage, and therefore the requirement and also the CETA requirement in order then to provide for a procurement vehicle in terms of this. So, Chairperson, then I will move on to page the deliverables for the financial year, and each one of them, together with the indication of the spending, is being provided there. And then I'll go to slide 57. If we can move then to the forensic services to see in terms of the projects anticipated for the current financial year. The first project, they talk about the implementation of the Fingerprint Act, 1 million rand, and to ensure the compliance to the Fingerprint and Explosive Act. Evidence recovery lockers and safe, 3 million rand for the safekeeping of firearms or forensic evidence. Procurement of crime scene marking kits, 1.2 million. Marking of crime scene, ensuring identifiable points. Procurement of ground penetrating radar systems, 4.2 million, to detect underground suspicious shallow grounds. Explosive storage containers, safekeeping of explosive equipment and explosive consumables. Conversion of crime scene vehicles, 14.3 million. For vehicles to suitable terrain and to carry necessary equipment and resources for crime scene. Then the replacement of old GSPS technology for the processing of the DNA samples, 50 million. Then the processing of DNA samples, the replacement of Raymond instruments for forensic evidence drugs, procurement of automated environmental monitoring system, also for the processing of DNA samples, procurement of portable laboratory equipment benches for sample preparation analysis, and then the replacement of GCMS equipment, that's for the development forensic analysis capacity, drug analysis. Then also to allow for the processing of forensic evidence scientific analysis, the procurement of ICP OES, 5.5 million, and then the facility in Pinetown to achieve sustainable long-term solution for accommodation for in that location. Then some refurbishment to some of the chemistry laboratories to allow for a full array of services in terms of the requirements of to ensure then that those services can be rendered. Then, Chairperson, we go then to the project impact section 5, just to indicate from the CJS perspective, we've seen improved crime scene management, evidence collection and processing. We've seen improved such forensic services and laboratory information system, drug analysis and DNA. Capacity and functional improvements to the automated fingerprint identification system, fingerprint-related legislative enablement and implementation, and then the DNA-related legislative enablement and implementation. Improved detective and forensic skills, capacity challenges are visible in the number of cases being resolved, also the linkage of evidence to crime scene, so it's important that one improve and maintain those skills. The procurement of the first responder kits for the detectives and crime scene experts is assisting ensuring that crime scenes are not contaminated. The IJS program successfully deployed case management integration between SAPS, NPA, Justice and Legal Aid. This enables electronic transmission exchange of dockets and docket-related information. The personal identification and verification application version 1 has been deployed between SAPS and Home Affairs to facilitate the validation of the identity of arrested persons, including names, photos and fingerprints. Then, Chairperson, we go to the recurring commitments. Just to summarize this slide to indicate, and it's been reiterated by Treasury, that there's a requirement for a portion of this then to be diverted, and that we budget for that part of the normal budget allocation of SAPs, just to ensure that the recurring commitments are being serviced. Then on the next slide, just an indication from the forensic side, where the members can then note there what are these recurring commitments that we are talking about, from the laboratory consumable side, the DNA kits, for instance, the PCR kits, where the DNA sample that they obtain is too little, and then it requires multiplication, and therefore it's a particular kit is required. And then the crime scene consumables, waste removal, the maintenance of equipment, analysis equipment, crime scene equipment, and all of these have been procured and purchased from this funding source. Then the CJS and IJS baseline allocation requirements, where we just indicate the process that we have engaged National Treasury on a continuous basis. The accounting office has submitted to National Treasury also the requirement in terms of this. There was also an agreement that the outcome of a medium-term expenditure committee functional group meeting where the DGs were present, and they all acceded to the fact that there's a requirement, and all the accounting officers then submitted to Treasury a detailed analysis of the projects and then the recurring commitments in order then to meet this requirement. Chairperson, if you look at the way forward, in order to address the concerns raised by the National Treasury, the department submitted the projects at the beginning of the financial year. We identified clear objectives and deliverables for project implementation. Those projects that contribute to the 7-point plan excluded the recurring costs, so therefore in the current financial year, subject to the approval on project funding as such, there will not be the full $1.4 billion on CJS being spent. It's a portion that will vest against the operational budget, but there needs to be a diversion there. And then also what we are saying, we've communicated with the development committee, the Department of Justice, we are making continuous follow-ups in order to have the first engagement with the Development Committee of Justice, and then to get the JCPS cluster DGs on the agenda as soon as possible, and then to obtain cabinet approval in the current financial year. And as I've indicated, Chairperson, the department is spending currently in the Human Resource Development Environment team, as detectives, forensics, the planning for the implementation of the projects currently, they are all ongoing, although we cannot vest it against the project unless we have Treasury approval. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, General Nelson. General Fazi, anything to add?
No, I'm just surprised. It's quite clear. Thank you, sir.
Thank you to the GNC. Also, a word of welcome to the pupils, to the Portfolio Committee on Police. We trust that you enjoy your experience at Parliament today. Members, we will now go to questions for the first round. The first few from my side, and then I'll go to the members. The first relates to the quarterly reports. Now, it's an important factor related to governance. National Treasury has indicated that there hasn't been quarterly reports. What's the reason? In a previous engagement with management, I raised the issue with General Sitole about who is the program manager for this project within SAPS. He indicated it's a major general. Can we just maybe get the indication of the performance agreement? I mean, if there's no quarterly reports going to National Treasury, what is the consequent management that's at play? That we can just get an indication with regard to that. Then the issue of capacity to manage these projects. We've seen an escalation, actually going away from detectives, consumables, other areas. What is the current plan or strategy from police management to deal with that capacity constraints? Let's go to the members. Honorable Kodabara.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. This would be to the Treasury initially. Why haven't you just stopped the money? billions of rands, and it seems to me every word you said that the SAPs have failed dismally to account. There are the maintenance contract issues, illegally using the money to buy consumables, failing to give the progress reports. It's surely within your power to make this just stop. I mean, I believe you've been far, far too lenient. The SAPs have failed to meet the terms that they agreed on, as determined by you. They've just blindly gone ahead, spent the money. So how long are you going to let the rope stretch when they failed the 10th time to give you a quarterly report or the 20th time? Now, we're talking about billions of rands. And on slide 19, they say, Treasury is, quote, of the opinion. Now, the Treasury doesn't have opinions. They deal in facts. So SAPs shouldn't have had to be told to revise their scope. They shouldn't have allowed that program creep to happen in the first place. I can't believe these funds are being used for consumables and for recurring costs. So something there from the Treasury, please. And SAPs, I think, as the Chair has said, to use the money to buy consumables, cabinets, equipment for detectors, I can't understand what you were thinking. So the maintenance contract issue is massive, but to spend this money on consumables while the other departments sit and get nothing, and my colleagues in the other portfolios are saying, where is the money? We've got nothing. We've got nothing to upgrade our equipment. It's all sitting with SAPs. They are not impressed. They're not happy. The statement by the Treasury that SAPs, you took the money first and planned afterwards, I just can't believe it's possible that you're sitting here and the Treasury is saying they have no idea what the outcome of the impact of this massive expenditure is. I mean, we as a committee, we trusted the SAPs to do what was right, and we sit here 6 years later and billions of rands, and we hear this. I don't know when I've last been so horrified, and certainly the issue of the maintenance needs to be explained at length. Then a couple of the particulars, the Cybers project, 33.3 million, yet none of the milestone deliverables have been reached. And you know, we've asked you, and I've forgotten how many times this committee has asked for a list of stations where we could go and see where they've been upgraded, so-called priority stations. I've yet to see a list. I don't know what stations. The stations I could go to just have old, well, I hesitate to call them computers. Very fancy typewriters is what they are. Nothing's linked to anything. So for the Cybers project, how much money has been spent on this as yet invisible project? And the electronic integration of the SAPs and social development. Now, are probation officers receiving electronic notifications when the children in conflict with the law are detained? Yes or no? Is this another project that is still another billion rand down the pipeline? There's also the 18 million you failed to spend for the ICT equipment for the ICDMS investigation case project. Is this another non-starter? It seems the e-learning, the digital pens, all the nice-to-haves, where are they really happening? Or are these just the frills around the edges to spend money with? Because it seems to me you're hanging on to the money, but you actually can't spend it all. You only spend 69% of the money allocated. When I hear you talk about the DNA database, and I go to Newlands East Station a week ago, they have zero buccal swab kits, and they say there's no point in asking the province, they have none. And yet, billions are spent on the DNA project, and the stations are giving you nothing, because they have nothing. It is so depressing. And finally, tell me you have success through the implementation of the PIVA, PIVA, I don't know what you call it, at the rhino poaching unit, stock theft units at OR Tambo, and what is the cost of that app? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Kota Barnab, Honourable Munabachi.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is on why are you not submitting the quarterly progress reports to the National Treasury as expected? My second one goes to the the department again. Why did the department not submit the revised project scope to the JCPS cluster and cabinet for approval? My next one, what led to the under expenditure on IJS funds during 2017/18 financial year? My last one, what is the impact of the suspension of the Divisional Commissioner of TMS? We know there is an acting person there, but what is the impact of the suspension? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation. Sorry, I was late from the doctor. My first question, will you please indicate why the CJS program within the SAS had to be extended into incorporate other components which were initially not part of the approved project scope at inception? What components were included? My second question, will you please provide us a copy of the document submitted to the JCPS cluster and cabinet that outlines the revised scope for the implementation of the 7-point plan? My third question, what factors led to delay in the approval of the ICDMS e-learning program? Because the program was approved in April 2018, will you please provide details on the rollout of the training program? My last question, in slide four, in your presentation, states the achievements made on the CBAS project, despite expenditure of 33.3 million during the 2017-2018 financial year. None of the milestone deliveries have been reached for the external integration of the project. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mabula. Honorable Markey.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question would be the National Treasurer. I'm not sure, I don't have an idea how you allocate funds to departments. But it is surprising that you allocate funds without some sort of a project plan. I mean, if you are going to say planning followed funding, very, very surprising why you should do that. I don't know how you allocate funds, but if you are allowed to do that, then you can't put it here as a problem. You should have sorted out that problem from the very onset. It means you just gave them money not knowing what the deliverables must be. So according to me, nobody can be blamed for that. I mean, if you give me money for a project, my speculation might be everything that involves the project I can use the money for. If I'm to train people, I might take it within that budget. If I'm to buy consumables that I'm going to use in the training of those people, I might take it, it belongs to that budget. Unless if at the onset you say, no, this is for this and that and that. Now we are told the DNA, what do we call them, swaps also. SAPS is saying they are taking those for training and they are delivering them to police stations. So I would understand that for training, it would have been taken from the project itself in order to buy those things. I'm saying this because if you are to have vehicles that are involved with the project, if it was not stated, then I can simply take from Onam Kotao and buy vehicles as long as it's for the project. That is my understanding. Treasury can come here and say, we didn't have a plan. I'm saying this because this is a very important project. It will definitely make a difference in the criminal justice system. But it is messed up. And I don't see where we are going, where we are from, as of this program, as of now. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Markey. Honourable Markey, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. You do have a good strategic plan, but then I'd like to know how you should indicate how they are aligned to the CJS 7-point plan. Just that, so that I understand clearly.
Thank you, Honourable Abidjan. Honourable Mabere. Thank you, Chairperson. I think firstly, just by way of commentary, is that as the Chairperson and other members have reflected, what we've heard today and previously about the CJS-IGS program is that it's another classic example of what you might call a merit-worthy idea with messy implementation, which is far too common, unfortunately, in the public sector. And my sense is that this program has been a kind of nebulous, floating thing within the SAPS environments for a long time, without anybody having a firm grasp on it or sort of actively driving it. And that's what makes it easy to dip into for non-project-related costs, because if there was a sort of clear and cogent champion driving it, they would rebuff and bat off attempts to deviate in some of that allocation. So that to me seems to be the core issue, at least as captured by the point that there's no single governance structure in the project management. So until that gets sorted, I'm afraid it's going to be status quo for the foreseeable future. My two questions, firstly, is just to ask for an explanation on a seeming discrepancy. On slide 20, it's indicated that the allocation for the CJS in this financial year is 1.4 billion rand. But in the slides on slide 40 and 41, which outline the planned CJS projects, that only amounts to about half the amount, 732 million. Now, I thought I heard General Nelson alluding to why that was, but I didn't quite capture it. If that could just be explained again for clarity, because that means half the amount allocated is not currently intended for a project, and we're now already halfway through the financial year, so that's going to cause a possible crash later on. And then my second question is the CJS projects that are outlined in slides 58 to 59, and to my mind, some of these projects still don't directly relate to the purpose of CJS, IJS, the storage containers and vehicles. So if we could get an explanation from SAPS as to what their framing of those projects is within the intention of the CJS program, and perhaps if Treasury could comment on whether these are the kinds of examples of what they mentioned in their presentation of non-project-related costs being or spending being done, because I mean, if it's carrying on, you know, what's going on? We've literally just heard that it's one of the problems, and it's here in the planning for this financial year. So I'd be curious to share what Treasury has to say about that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Molobati. You've got a question?
I see the meeting of SCOPA and SAPS today had to be postponed because of non-availability of the forensic report on FDA. What is your take on that?
Thank you, honourable members. That's the first round. We will now take a 10-minute break, tea break, and then we'll come back for the responses and further questions. Thank you very much, honourable members. Directly refer to them, and then of course we will go to the gentleman Farsi and his delegation from SAPS. You're welcome, madam. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to start with the question from Honourable Marge in relation to how we allocated the funds without the plan. I wanted to clarify that when I said that the planning followed the funding, that was initially in terms of the first allocation that was made in 2007. And the reason for that was, at the time, as I indicated earlier, there was the political champion, Johnny De Lange, who advocated for the funds and provided detailed explanation as to what the money would be for. So the when I'm saying that there was no plan, I mean the plan in terms of the specifics to say that there is Project X that is going to deliver this by when, and these are the expected outputs. But the funding was allocated on the basis of the high-level plan that was given at the time around the need for the modernization aspects related to the program, as well as the need to capacitate the detective services. So that's why when the allocation was made, we were able to say that the money is for this. But there were no specifics in terms of how many detectives would be appointed, for example. We did over the year correct that, because as I indicated when I was presenting the slide on the conditions, we made it a compulsory thing for the department to submit plans every year before we actually allocate the money. So the plan is in relation to the initial allocation, but since then we receive plans from SAPS on an annual basis showing what the money is going to be spent on. And the reason for that was in trying to correct the initial I think oversight at the beginning of allocating the money without the plan. It was just a high-level plan that was given at the time, but it was not in terms of specifics in terms of what the money would be spent on. And then there was, I think, the question also from Honourable Barnard as to why we have not stopped the money. As Treasury, it's something that we've considered in the past. And if I'm answering the question in simple terms to say why we have not stopped the money is because not everything around the program has been bad. There have been good aspects of the program. How we've approached the whole process of dealing with this, and hence in the presentation by Kendall Nelson, you would have seen that in us using the stick approach, there have been instances where we've actually reduced the baseline. So in those instances where we could see that there were projects or consumables that were added or things that were added as part of the program that were not necessarily in line with what the scope of the program is, we've actually reduced the money through baseline allocation. But also, we were also careful not to take the radical approach of just saying we are stopping the allocation, because there have been ongoing engagements between us and SAPS in terms of where are the areas or the gaps and how they can improve that. I think this is the ninth year. Hence, this year, for the first time, taking into account that we had the engagement and in some cases there was no improvement in what we had suggested, that's why this year we said to the department, we need to put a hold in terms of you spending the money and you now need to make sure that you follow the proper process of actually getting the project scope formally amended. And hence we put a condition that unless the department does that, they are not authorized to spend the money. But in between, we had to allow the department an opportunity, taking into account that in some cases there was a change in the management arrangements in the department that sometimes impacted on how the program was being implemented as well. But not everything about it has been better. There's been good work that has been done around the ICDMS, for example. So there's no justification in terms of stopping the allocation holistically, but I do agree that there are some elements where the money can be taken. The issue around them, I think, Honorable wanted also my input in relation to that, on the consumables that they've been using the money for. Even in relation to that, in 2017-18 and in 2018-19, we said to the department, we will not fund those from the CJS allocation, and we've requested that they be removed from the CJS plans because we don't believe that they form part of the scope for this. So going forward, we are not expecting that we would see these particular items, and there was a lot of work that was done between us and the department in terms of removing. There were issues around the buying of vehicles and whether you can justify the procurement of a vehicle as something that contributes to the modernization aspect. And there was a counter argument from the department to say specialized vehicles for detective services, but still something like that should be part and parcel of the operational budget of the department. The other reason why we could not just say we are stopping the money was also because even though we don't agree that they must use the money, CJS money, for consumables, if we take away the money, there will be consequences from a forensic services component in SAPS. So we also had to apply our minds in relation to that. Do we get the operational side of SAPS to suffer because we're saying that on the one hand, they're not supposed to be using the money for this, but we had to allow that to happen. But having a parallel process that was actually addressing the issue that this money should not be used for them. So that was the other reason. We didn't want to compromise the forensic services aspect until such time that we have dealt with all these issues around the department changing the project scope. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll follow up on the bill.
Thanks, Chair. If I may, just a two-finger follow-up. So if I understood the response and feedback correctly, the CJS projects on slide 58 and 59 that's currently displayed, those the ones that, at least to my mind, don't immediately seem project-related would first need to be subject to the formal review or approval process involving the cluster structure and cabinets, and then if that goes through, then it would. But for now, the what we see there right now would be stalled pending that process. That is correct. Okay.
And maybe just to add, so what you saw presented on that slide has not been approved by us. So as part of the approval process on our side, we would say to the department, for example, this is not part of the program, remove this.
Thank you very much. We will now go to the Deputy National Commissioner, General Mufasi, and his team. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Honorable members. Firstly, Honorable Chair, to look at the first question that you have asked that relates with governance. Under governance, you raise three critical questions, the question of performance agreement, consequence management, and capacity building. Well, firstly, let me start by saying that as an institution, we actually engage in this issue of CJS and ICJ precisely with the purpose of the optimal utilization of the technology that is available to the institution. For us to be able to achieve that, because the purpose of the exercise is to fight crime, we need to develop some kind of a technological management strategy. And I think the National Commissioner has alluded to this House with relation to that, and it's exactly the exercise that we're engaged in. And of course, subsequent to that, we have developed an implementation framework that relates with the issue of technological management in the SAPS. Well, directly responding to the question, well, of course, the issue of performance agreements in the South African Border Service. It's an exercise that has been there. But what is important is that on the 29th of this month, we met with the audit committee. We said we need to review the issue of our performance agreement so as to be able to be in line with what are the requirements of the institution. Not, of course, overlooking the issue of CJS and IGS as one of the issues that needs to be performance managed and look at agreements to the people that are involved in the whole exercise, specifically finance, TSM, and the Office of Program and Project Management. And of course, I think only a day or so we've been in this house talking to the issue of consequence management. It's one other critical area that we're attending and holistically as an institution. Then on the issue of capacity building, I think let me acknowledge the fact that on the issue of project management in terms of coordinating activities in other government departments, we've identified as one of the areas that in the bodies were actually lacking. And we've been interacting with various institutions in trying to develop capacity. We are in the exercise of capacity building because when I got appointed as a DNC responsible for management advisory services, the issue of program and project management is directly under my office. We started by appointing a major general to take responsibility in as far as that aspect is concerned. And also, when we started to do that, we realized that there are projects that were managing in that office that are not supposed to be in that office. And that we have actually looked and we have put up a plan to ensure that also we build capacity in terms of making people to understand as to what project management is it all about and what is involved in project management. And definitely, if we actually capacitate people, they will understand that project has got a lifespan. Project has a start and an end. The first thing that is basic and is elementary in that aspect, and that's what we need to work on, because we have been sitting with this project, but in the final analysis, we have not been achieving what we have been intending to achieve. Well, basically, this is how we're going to attend to these issues in terms of capacity building. Then also, coming to the question that talks to SAPS failing to meet the terms, as indicated by the Treasurer. But I think in view of the system that we're developing in terms of working on our strategic direction in as far as the issue of CJS and IJS, we'll be able to respond and have an ability to meet the terms in as far as these projects are concerned. Then spending the money on consumables, I think the people that are technical in technological department, they will be able to respond on that question. Well, the issue of taking the money and plan after that, I don't know, maybe it has been the ability of the institution to plan. In view of the strategic direction that the National Commissioner is giving to the SAPS, one of the critical issues that are important to us is to ensure that this kind of interaction that we're having with the with other government departments under the auspices of the CJS and the IGS should be one of the issues that should be a success, then what have we done? We have actually put up a plan and housed the plan somewhere. That is why we have appointed the Major General to the project manager, and of course the Department of Finance to be a leading agent, because this the ring-fence money comes to them. Then when they are allocating it, they will allocate it as per the plan in that particular division. Then also, I think the issue of the maintenance will be actually explained when General Nelson is responding. Then the issue of the DNA kits, I think we have responded on that issue. The DNA kits, we have overcome that aspect. That project is up and running, and the stations are well equipped in as far as that is concerned. On the PIVA issue, I think the people from TMS will respond, General Gabela. Then also the underspending. Then I think TMS will be also responding, specifically Major General Gabela. Then the issue of the quarterly reports. On the quarterly reports, I think there was a communication breakdown on our side and the treasurer, because our reports, we have been sending them to strategic management, because they are actually compiling our documents and we submit them here. But I think in view of the fact that they are saying that they are not getting the reports, we'll be actually sending the reports directly to them so that they should get those reports. Then the IJS monthly reports, General must actually respond to those ones and give the final details, because it's actually managing the project, because you can't run a project and there is no monthly report. The projects have to generate reports, and reports have got timelines. You can't actually, you rather milestones and deadlines. The issue of revised project scope. I think on the issue of project management, also the general will, actual general manager will respond on this one. But the issue of project management, she will explain the issue of the scope and how important it is in any project, because in a project, as much as I'm looking at this issue of revised project scopes, but there is one other element that is important in any project, the issue of contingency planning. That is key and is critical in any project for its success, and if you want to do deviations, and the institution has been actually lacking that aspect. Then the issue of under expenditure. I think General Nelson will be actually responding to that. Then the impact of Divisional Commissioner TMS, that is the recent, I mean the current suspension of the Divisional Commissioner of TMS. I think the division is functioning properly. The acting Divisional Commissioner is doing everything that he's supposed to do. Up to this point, we have not seen any issue that is of that is negative in as far as the functioning of the division is concerned. Then all other remaining questions, my colleagues will be actually responding. General Nelson will be the first to respond on issues that relate with finances. My general will be responding, my General Masia will be responding on issues that relate with TMS. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, DNC Mufasi. General Nelson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, I will respond to what the number of these. Let me start off with Mr. Mbele's question on the information contained on slide 41. the 732, may I please refer you to slide number 15, 1-5, where we give a summary of the amounts allocated for the current financial year in terms of the initial planning. And to note that these amounts have been appropriated for the current financial year. Now, due to these developments, realization essentially now, if one look at slide 41, you've noted the 732 million, and you try to reconcile that to 1.4 billion. Now, on the slide, you will note that specific portion is only for the TMS, only the technology management service part, and then the other components within the broader allocation that reconciles back to the 1.4. And just to note, to balance back to the 1.6, you need to add the IGS portion. Then on the question on the underspending for the previous financial year, the members might recall when we appeared in terms of the annual report and the legislative oversight, we've noted these current investigations that are taking place in the department with regard to the spending utilization, that there were specific indications in terms of invoices that we've received that we haven't paid until the investigation be concluded. So a portion of the underspending, the amounts that we've reserved, that we couldn't then process those invoices, and another extent also then certain dependencies in terms of procurement vehicles towards the end of the financial year, and also that although the department, there were some invoices at the end of the financial year, but we've taken another approach from the end of the previous financial year in terms of managing the fiscal situation as at the end of the financial year, not to prioritize specific invoices above others, but to apply Treasury Regulation 823 in terms of the compliance framework, and to then regard all invoices on a similar basis. So that is the one intervention coming also from the scope of interaction in terms of that. Just to refer to, we've noted also the committee's indications pertaining to the maintenance and then the recurring commitments, and that should be prioritized then from the baseline going forward, and that the revised project scope that the department's busy developing that will now then be escalated through the structures then will only focus on new projects that fit within the 7-point plan, and that we as a department now need to demonstrate to the broader cluster that each one of these projects confine and conform to the requirements of the 7-point plan, and that the approval through cabinet decision then be obtained. And that then, in terms of the way forward, going forward, that we then, through this newly created structure in terms of the project management office and from the CFO office, with specific instructions being provided by the National Commission as direction to oversee also the implementation, the monitoring, the control of this project, that through a combined effort that we have a holistic viewpoint in terms of project management, implementation, the execution, the monitoring, reporting framework to Treasury on a regular basis in order to ensure that we utilize these funding then to conform to those requirements. So from that perspective, let me just note quickly if there's specific ones. The committee would also note that there's been regular reporting to the committee, and even the latest one was recently by the end of the financial year as per the budget review and recommendations report by this committee, also from your oversight functionality. So that reporting framework. But there's also been reporting in this regard to the National Treasury. But the department must acknowledge, as Chairman Mfazi indicated, the quarterly reporting didn't take place as per requirement, and that will be announced going forward through that mechanism. I think perhaps Chairman Mfazi, Chairperson, can the other continue, so I can just have a look at the other questions for response.
John Nelson, if you don't miss here.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I will respond to the question of Honorable Mabija. How does our strategy align to the CJS 7 points? As we take note that the, out of the 7 points of the CJS, we are dealing with the 2 points, that is point number 4 and number 6, where point number 4 says we implement the key priorities identified by the, for CJS and to improve, for the improved capacity. And it talks as well to our courts. What we have done is that, as we, you could have taken note, that we've got systems that are integrated with the courts, which talks to our arrest, detention, and as well as releasing the suspects at the courts. What we are doing out of the integrated systems, of which we have not rolled out in all the courts and in, not in all the police stations, that is the gain that we are realizing from the courts. And again, we know that we send our dockets to the courts for the judgment or assessment of by the courts to make sure that we've got convictions. Here we are utilizing the e-dockets where we scan the dockets so that we've got the full information of the docket, and this makes sure that we don't lose the information on the docket because we have our docket scanned. On the point number 6, we modernize in an integrated, holistic manner all aspects of system equipment of the CJS. Here we have modernized, as we note all of us, from the CAS system to the ICTMS system that we are utilizing currently, although we didn't deploy the ICTMS in all the police stations, but we have a huge number of police stations where we have implemented the ICTMS. That is the 982 stations nationally where we have implemented. And the challenge that we are having currently not to implement the ICTMS is due to the VSET site, where we are going to deploy the ICTMS in phases as per our budget that will be allocated to us. We are having 167 stations where we didn't implement the ICTMS. Eastern Cape, we have 61 stations. Limpopo, we have 32 stations. Free State is 5. Northern Cape, we have 10. Northwest, we have 19. Mpumalanga, we have 11. And KwaZulu-Natal, we have 29 stations. So that, those are the stations where we didn't implement the ICTMS because of the challenge of the infrastructure at those particular stations. Then I will allow General Mavundla to respond through you, Honorable Chairperson, to respond on the ICDMS project, on the pens that we, it was indicated that we are going to utilize the pens. He will respond to that one, and General Kabela will respond to the PIVA, the success of the PIVA. Those are the two questions for TMS currently that I can note. Okay, General Kabela will as well respond to the underspending on the budget of 2017-2018, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, the digital pens, which seem to be a nice to have, they are meant to improve the time spent as you complete the forms in the field. You still have to come back and complete those forms and scan them. So if we would have the digital pens and then the pads, then we will be able to complete those. But as, at the moment, we are within the process of procurement of those pens so they can be tested, and also the signatory in submission to court that is proven to be correct.
Thank you, Honourable Chair Member. The issue of the PIVA, which is Person Identity Verification Application, the system, I can say, there's no direct expenditure that you can say it is there, but it is because it is part of the service integration pass, where we're paying for the licenses on, and the for and we are paying for the consultancy fee, which is the resources. But the implementation of the project is done by the members of the South African police. It is implemented in various stations in all the provinces. It has been done. I think in each province we have got plus minus 15 or more, because we did at least 15 at the national office, and the provincial TMS heads are continuing with the implementation. But there is no budget that you say this is for PIVA taken from the budget, because it is a budget that is part of the service integration pass in terms of the licenses and resources. In relation to the understanding, I think General Nelson have alluded to that point. I just concur with the what he said in terms of the delays in the procurement processes and the invoicing due to the investigation that are happening internally.
Thank you.
Just to add, in terms of PIVA rollout, the total stations, we have rolled up PIVA to 274 stations. And then in terms of successes, we have identified 140,000 suspects with previous convictions, and we have identified 7,065 wanted persons. So that's the successes as far as PIVA is concerned. There were other questions relating to integrations for the child suspect and the probation officer with DSD. Those integrations are currently in the testing phase. Once the testing is successful, then they will go into production.
Responses, is General, you're welcome.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. As responsible for the program and project management, as was have already been advocated by the National Commissioner and Deputy National Commissioner Mufasa, we have already started with the policy which was already approved for implementation, that is giving us the governance in terms of how do we should we go and run all the projects. And the purpose of doing so was to make sure that all the end users, it's not only for the CJS, it's all the projects in the South African Police Services, the South African Police Service, to make sure that they are deliverable, they are time frames, and the expenditure is also allocated to that. And when we look at the deliverables, we are also looking in terms of the procurement processes. Where there are no procurement vehicles in terms of the items and services to be acquired, we make sure that the end users start with the processes so that we are able to deliver on the project and we are able to monitor on them. And like it has already been alluded to, in the issue of the reporting will also, as directed by the National Commission, will all be consolidated in the project office so that we do not have a discrepancy in terms of reporting and to different authorities, including National Treasury. So that is the where we are in terms of project and program management. Deputy National Commissioner Mfazi has already indicated we have just finalized the issue of skills audit that is required for the capacitation of the program and project management to make sure that we do implement. And the policy, as I have indicated, is already now in the process of being workshopped to all the end users. The consultation with the end users is on a continuous basis in terms of the project, the program, the program that is required for the implementation of the CJS project, including the National Treasury for that matter. Honorable Chair, on the issue of the revised project plan that has already been finalized and submitted to the Department of Justice and the National Treasury, what we are seeking now, we are seeking audience with the Department of Justice so that we can have the project finally approved by the cabinet, so that approval can go to National Treasury to release the funding for the implementation of the project. I think those are the questions that are in line with program and project management. Thank you.
Thank you. Just maybe a follow-up from my side, we're going to deal next Wednesday with the bid committees as well as contract management, that outstanding
presentation, but I just want to know percentage-wise of the current IGS-CGS projects, how many are quarantined in terms of the scope of FDA matters? What percentage of the current IGS-CGS projects in the current financial year is quarantined or can't be? Can I just get an indication? Honorable Kolobana, also follow up.
Yeah. I made a statement that I had personally been to Newlands East Police Station about 11 days ago. Zero buccal swab, no DNA kits at all. And yet the response was, and let me quote here, in the issue of the DNA kits, we have responded the stations are well equipped. Well, this station is not well equipped. It has nothing. And he says to me, I said, have you applied for more? He says, there's no point. The province hasn't got any to give us. So your idea of what well-equipped stations are in terms of the DNA legislation and my idea of what a well-equipped station is are obviously two different things. I told you very clearly, Newlands East has nothing. And as I go around, despite the provincial commissioner's attempts to stop me, I will ask at every single station how many they have, if they have them at all. And if I find another one, and I'm no doubt that I will, then what, will you come back and say all stations have everything? Perhaps it's time, sir, you started visiting the stations and check for yourself.
Thank you, Uncle Bernard. Let's do those responses and also the other outstanding matters, and then we'll go to the second round. Thank you, Gentleman Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Also, the other question was the question that was talking to the issue of the postponement of the SCOPA meeting because of the absence of a forensic report. I don't know, maybe there is a forensic investigation that is being done with regard to the issues that relates with the FDA in the police. That report is available. Maybe perhaps there might be technicalities that is not available at the scope at this point in time because I was not there. I can't say what might be the issues, but definitely there is investigation that we're doing. Then coming to the issue of, we have taken note of,
Sorry, DNC, Mpazi, Honorable Mpazi.
The general is saying that that report is available where?
No. I'm saying we are doing investigation, forensic investigation, on the issues that relates with the DFA, FDA contracts. That there is a forensic investigation on that. As to how the report has not come here in the scope, I can't be able to explain because I was not there. I really don't know. Thank you.
Yeah, I think the indication is there's a different SAPS delegation at SCOPA, so the general is not part of it. But let's continue with the other responses. Thank you.
The issue on the DNA kit, we are going to follow up on the issue. I'll give the report back to this house when I'm.
Thank you, and please don't ever say something like that again. When I say something exists or doesn't exist at a station, I don't expect someone of your caliber to brush it aside and say I'm wrong. Actually, they're all perfectly well capacitated. When I stood in the station and was told this by the station commander, please don't do that. That's not how you should react to members. We all do station visits. And we bring the information here to tell you because we are a force multiplier, is what we are. But to just diss me like that and say I'm wrong, I'm deeply insulted.
Right, let's continue. The other sponsors, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Honorable Members, let me take this opportunity and apologize, and I withdraw, and I really apologize. My colleagues will respond to the other question that we have raised, Honorable Chair. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, DNC. General Masia.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. There was a question that was raised by Honorable Kola Barnett about the maintenance, the money that you are utilizing for maintenance. The maintenance is on all the systems that we have procured and deployed at the police station since the inception of the IGS-CJS funding 2008. So we are maintaining those systems. That's where the money goes. Your question, Honorable Chair, about the any system or project.
Just a moment, General Masia, Honorable Karabana.
Clarity there. Did you say that there's a system that's been in place since 2008? There've been the maintenance contracts? Because I'm a little bit confused about what you're saying in terms of what the Treasury was saying. So perhaps someone could clarify.
Thank you, Honorable Member. General Masia.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We'll take note, Honorable Chair, that since 2008 we had systems. I'm not saying there is a system that has been kept from 2008, but I was just talking to our expenditure holistically. So we do have systems that we have deployed after 2008. The other systems were deployed 3 years ago. So that is the maintenance that I am talking about, because the expenditure is talking holistically on maintenance. Thank you. And the issue of the project that is there, that is affected by the investigation, we have only one, that is the PCAM, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
I don't know, I'm obviously being very dim today. We start out with maintenance contracts from 2008, then there's a blurry bit about, but she wasn't sure, but actually 3 years ago they undertook some other maintenance contracts. What happened 3 years ago? Did those collapse? Was there a period when there was no maintenance? Were there new contracts signed? Was it paid for by the funding? It shouldn't have been. I'm not understanding what you're saying.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Let's give an opportunity to the Subsecretary General.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I just want to be clear then. I'm sorry that you didn't get what I was saying, but I was saying since 2008, we all know that the subs had systems that they procured, and I was citing an example to indicate that 3 years back, there was other systems that were deployed, and those systems are still maintained. So our expenditure that we've been talking to on the presentation speaks to all the maintenance of those years. It doesn't mean that the other systems are falling out, the other systems. We do have upgrades on the systems. To cite an example, the CAS system has been upgraded to ICTMS. So those are the examples that I can give. But the maintenance talk to all the maintenance of all the systems since 2008. Other systems, of course, they are not in use anymore. The others have been deployed, the new systems. But there are systems that we have been carrying on. Thank you.
Another follow-up on
Chair, I wonder if we might, if through you, if you could ask the Treasury perhaps then to step in and say, what was the issue then? If SAP say they've had maintenance contracts throughout, then I'm not understanding what the issue was with the Treasury saying there were no maintenance contracts. If you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, let's give Treasury an opportunity. I think they indicated at the start of the project that
okay.
the scope wasn't fully developed, but let's give the
yes.
you up.
So what we were saying on our side is that with the project that came with the introduction of the CJS, when the money was allocated, it was allocated, for example, it would say procurement of the APIS system. The cost would be, hypothetically speaking, 200 million. Then 200 million is allocated for that. Then later down the years, because when the allocation was made, the maintenance aspect or the maintenance cost were not built into that 200 million that was allocated. Then there was another 20, 50 million that was then required to maintain the system. And it was done like that consistently for a number of projects. And that was because in the costing that was done from a SAP's point of view, they did not provide for the maintenance-related aspect, which is why today we are sitting with a big chunk of the allocation going towards maintenance, because when the money was allocated, the maintenance costs were not disclosed then.
Yeah, maybe just another follow-up regarding PCAM. In terms of the under-expenditure for the current financial year, what, due to the quarantine of the issue, what is the underspending in terms of millions? Can we maybe just get an indication? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. Maybe let me quickly talk to the maintenance issue. We procured equipment, like they've said, the GCMSs, RFDs, and all that. Those machines, periodically, they need to be serviced, and periodically, they need to be calibrated. If you don't do that, you get the results to the court refuse them if you don't have that certificate of calibration. And it is important so that when you say a person has committed rape, you are talking about the actual person. There's no percentage of error. That's the essence why they need to be serviced and to be calibrated. Now we have members, we have analysts that do analysis, a good number, which were given to us, we applaud that, and we have a good number of machines. But they need to be maintained. And of course, we didn't ask for maintenance money from Treasury. Treasury bought us the equipment, but they need to maintain for them to be functional. And again, further, we need consumables to run them. Otherwise, they're going to be white elephants. But it is a positive result because the courts are now happy. They are no more complaining about forensic results. Everything is running out. In actual fact, we give them more than what they need now. And then the issue about the PKM, yes, it has been quarantined. It falls under the investigation. So we cannot procure now. We are still frozen. Thank you so much.
The expenditure?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. On the issue of PCAM, in fact, basically the under expenditure talks to the fact that the PCAM is one of those contracts that are a subject of forensic investigation. That is why there's a little bit of an underspending. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me apologize. There's one question that I have omitted that was asked by Honorable Mulebati about the copy of the revised project plan. Shall we please request that the report be submitted with a written response, Chair?
That's fine. Is that all responses at this time?
I don't know, maybe if there is anything that we are leaving behind, but in according to what I'm having here, we have responded to almost all the questions. Honorable Chair, thanks.
Thanks, General Mufazi. Let's go to a second round. If members got honorable marking.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was just wondering to myself, or because the systems we are talking about belong to the a cluster, and now we are talking to subs, and it doesn't give us an idea of what is happening in the other departments. What's happening in Home Affairs, what's happening in... Because when the DNA board was reporting, they were saying they can't take samples within the correctional services and so on. I'm not sure whether we are not doing ourselves an injustice in not linking the whole system, what's happening in the Justice Department, what's happening in Home Affairs, what's happening in correctional services, because the system links all of these departments. If we only hammer on subs and they can't transfer, in Home Affairs the system is not up to scratch, meaning that still it can link to the whole system. And then we blame them. I'm not their lawyer anyway, but I was thinking, or then we don't get the whole system, or where are we at this point in time? If we have the DNA board complaining, we have this one's complaining. I don't know whether it is possible that at some stage we get those that are responsible in all these departments to come and sit before us and tell us how far we are. Because we keep on hammering our own, maybe they don't have as much of a problem as in other departments. My second question would be, for instance, there was something about digital pets, and so some of these things that keep on featuring new technology and so on. Are there some of these systems that would need legislative amendments in order that they must be admissible to the courts? Because you might procure these things and then you go to court, like the brutalizer at some stage, it was there, but when it came to court, you have the system, but they say, no, it's not admissible. So that in the planning stage, we have all of these things. If we need to have legislative amendments, then we have those things from the very onset. I think for now I'll be just on that one. Thank you, Shepherd.
Thank you, Honorable Markley, Honorable Kaula Barnard, and Honorable Molobatsi.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to thank the gentleman in the blue tie. I'm afraid I've forgotten your name. Because I had asked exactly what the successes or not of the PIVA, P-I-V-A, I don't know what you refer to it as, were. And we got 7,065 wanted persons discovered. So that is amazing. But I wanted to know the cost of that. Although, frankly, to catch 7,000 wanted criminals, the cost, I don't really care. But is that, and how does it differ? Is it at all stations now? Is it at only some stations? How does it differ from your fingerprint systems that are at... I mean, there are stations that if they need to take fingerprints, they have to go and borrow the machine from another station 15 k's away. They bring it back, and then they do this, and then they take it back again. So there are stations still battling with that. But how does this one in particular have such a success rate, perhaps in where other machinery that you've spent a lot of money on doesn't? Is that being phased out? I did ask, and you said, look, it's being developed, the electronic integration of SAPS and social development because of the children issue when children in conflict are now arrested, and it should go through immediately to social development. And you said, well, it's being developed. And I think this is where, certainly from my side, a lot of the intense irritation comes. This committee needs to know exactly. It will start on this day, it will end on that day, it will cost this much, and then these are the stages, and yes, tick, 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 you've done them all, and now this is the outcome. And we've just got fuzz. Yeah, well, that's in development phase, and now I'm sure we'll implement that soon, and I don't see the end game. You know, and my colleague here was talking about, that was the whole point of it, the full integration of the whole system from arrest to release. And if I said to you right now, right, give me a date, there's no one in this room who can do that. And are we looking another 10 years down the line, another 20? Are we all going to be dead and buried? I don't know. But that is the frustration that I feel. Angie says she's never going to die, so she'll be here. But, you know, that is the frustration, is we don't see the end game. The date, exact, tell us. Because that's how this committee works. We want dates and definitions. We don't want fuzz. Yeah, someone's working on that in the back room somewhere. That just doesn't cut it.
Honourable Mulubatsi.
Chairperson, mine is just an outstanding one. I asked about the impact of the suspension of the division. Did you say? I'm sorry.
Other members? Maybe just the one issue, the MTF, MTBS, the money that was now transferred from your budget, I think, to Home Affairs. Again, just get a clarification. What's the impact? Is it just the program that moves there? And then the indication of the planned project expenditure status 2018-2019. There was indication from National Treasury that they haven't approved all the projects. So I just want to know all those projects mentioned on page 45, 46 and so on, are those going to be implemented during the current financial year? If we can just give an indication. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Through you, Honourable Chair, specifically on the last question, the Major General Nelson will actually respond. Then on the issues that Honourable Kolobana has raised, I think the comment that she has made is actually taking me back to the interaction that we're trying to do at this point in time with the other government departments, specifically the Department of International Relations. You know, we're looking at the program of firearms in the police together with the Hawks. And in this program, we are actually trying to establish exactly as to are we complying with the protocols in as far as the United Nations is concerned. And definitely when we're looking at this thing at the meeting that we had in Australia, we realized that there are critical issues that if we interact two systems as departments, we'll be able to pick up that we're actually dealing with them. I'm citing this issue of protocol of fire on the movement of firearms because if there is an interaction between ourselves and understand as to what are the treaties that are involved in terms of movement of firearms from other countries to this country, we'll be able to deal with this issue and we'll only be able to manage that thing through interaction of your systems. And if you are not doing that, you won't be able to pick up these issues. And in that project, I think we'll be able to deal with this issue of interaction of systems. That's the point that I wanted to emphasize and actually echo the comment of the Honorable Member, Kola Banat. And also, on the aspect of the comments that have been made by Honorable Mabula on the issue of the technology versus the legislation. I think in the review of our strategic plan, in our strategic planning, the minister has actually given us that task that we need to look at legislations that are actually hindering the work that we're doing, like as we've actually explained here on the issue of the legislation on cybercrime that will actually assist us to be actually able to do maybe in some certain instances interceptions. But currently, the law doesn't allow us to do that. Then I'm saying those are the things that who are working on them and in trying to interact with the various other government departments in ensuring that we are assisting those process as an organization. And also we have referred some of the legislations to our legal department to ensure that they are looking at them and they will be able to assist in terms of realigning our technology and rather utilization of technology vis-à-vis the issue of legislation. And then, the, through you, Honorable Chair, then General Nelson will actually respond on the last part that relates with finances. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, General Fawzi. General Nelson.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you. The 264 million in 2017-18 was suspended from this allocation and shifted to Department of Home Affairs in order to align the APHIS and the honor system. There were enhancements on the honor system and the requirements from the APHIS system, and that amount was once off amount in order to allow for the payment of those services and the enhancement of that system. The other question with regards to spending the current financial year, yes, we as we've indicated there, the planning, the procurement vehicles are being put in place, and the specification consultation, we once being approved, then this payment can be initiated. So in terms of the current financial year, Chairperson, but at this point in time, we will not be able to utilize the full amount. As we are sitting here, the amounts we will reprioritize from the baseline allocation to ensure that the recurring commitments then be funded from the baseline and not project funding. And once we get the approval through the cluster and national treasury, I think just waiting that then we will be able to initiate the spending in the current financial year.
Thank you. Anything additionally you want to add there, General McCart?
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Right. Members, Honorable Martin?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we must be given the time frame. What time frame were you given by the minister to come up with this legislation? Or all legislation that needs to be amended? Because I'm saying this because I'm thinking about body cameras. We talked about this for so many years. And at the end of it, when you were supposed to procure it, or maybe you might even have procured it already, then it's then that you realize, well, there's some law that needs to be amended. I'm not even very sure whether it can be amended by us in the Police Portfolio Committee, or if it belongs to justice or whatever. So it means we had crossroads about that. And I think that is unacceptable. So we need to have all of those things with a time frame, or this is legislation that you need to deal with. Because sometimes amending legislation might take us 3 years. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Any other member? Because then we're going to then wrap up for the final responses now close. On the party, you can, and also National Treasury, if there's anything also from your side, you're welcome, General.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Through you, Honorable Chair, the division that the General will be responding to this question.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. The issue of the body-worn cameras, our legal services are in consultation with the Justice Department, because we have to make sure that whatever evidence is accumulated from the body-worn cameras is admissible in court, as you have alluded to, Honorable Mike. The question that was raised by Honorable Kola Barnett on PIVA, I will allow Brigadier Ngage to continue with it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Brigadier.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, the General. In respect of PIVA, the difference between PIVA and perhaps the APHIS. Currently what PIVA, the capability of PIVA we are using currently, the four fingerprints plus an ID number to do verification and identification through the Home Affairs. And we could only use the four fingerprints and an ID because Home Affairs could only accommodate only those four fingerprints. They could not do the 10 fingerprints. But with the upgrade that they are currently doing, when we start with our integrated persons management, when we arrest a person, then we will take the 10 fingerprints live instead of the current
paper fingerprint that you're taking and we send to Home Affairs, to the local LCRC. So that's the major difference between the current AFIS system, because the AFIS system works with 10 fingerprints. PIVA currently can only do the 10, let's say 4 fingerprints because of the inadequacy of the database of Home Affairs. But the functionalities and the services are available once Home Affairs can accommodate the live scan through our integrated person management project. We will then start to introduce the live scan, which will obviously again require some upgrade on our network, because if you send 10 fingerprints from any police station to Home Affairs, you need really a good bandwidth to transfer those images through the network. In terms of the expenditure, I'm not sure whether the question was in relation to the expenditure, because PIVA is part of our overall program relating to integrations that we do internally and externally. So it's very difficult to isolate an expenditure relating only to PIVA, because we've got a team of people that are working on in all the integrations that we're doing internally and externally. And the rollout of PIVA, like I've indicated in my previous, when I answered some of the questions, to say we've deployed to 274 stations. And we're currently using the current infrastructure that is at those stations in terms of the biometric devices that can take those 4 fingerprints. So once we now move into the 10 fingerprints, then we have to go through the integrated persons management project to procure now the live scan devices that can now take the 10 fingerprints at a go instead of the current one. But the services that we've developed and the application will be reused whether we are doing 10 fingerprints or whatever the number of fingerprints that we are utilizing.
National Treasury.
Thank you, Chair. I think on our side, it's just to emphasize again that in terms of the 18-19 allocation to SAPS for the CJS, they're not authorized to spend until such time that they've concluded the process that we were making reference to earlier, at which point we will also then approve their plan. So the concern on our side is that we are now 7 months into the financial year and no spending has occurred.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members, for your participation today, also to the DNC, Mufasi and his team, and also to National Treasury. I think it was a quite important meeting. I think the proposal of Honourable Markey is correct. We will have to rope in all the other departments. I think Treasury was very diplomatic in their presentation. There was a champion for this CGS-IGS project, and the coordination lacked this past few years. That is just reality. And I think also the indication that the DGs in the cluster will now manage it quite closely, I think it's good. I think the National Commission is now the joint chair of the DGs cluster. So I think that will assist ensuring that there should be closer cooperation. But from the PC on police, there should be adherence to the conditions set by National Treasury. That's non-negotiable. There should be quarterly reports to National Treasury on time. There can't be any excuses. Compliance is quite critical. There should be proper milestones and there should be also time frames. And in the end, the IGS-CGS should be a practical situation where you go to a police station and you see that in action. There should be CCTV camera. There should be constant monitoring of the cells of the 13 stores. Everybody should be online. Dockets must be properly scanned. All those issues that's actually the outcome of the project. And then if we go to stations, there's a big gap between the reality and what is to be achieved in terms of the 7 milestones. So I think the PC on police must follow it up, and we're also in the legacy report we're going to adopt in 3 weeks' time for the next committee also to keep monitoring this project very, very closely, because it's a very important project, because it's the difference between a normal police service and a police service that's able to deal with the challenges of the current century. Yes, Honourable Karabana.
Just for your information, before you closed, Chair, the missing report has now been located and delivered to SCOPA, and SCOPA will be grilling the SAPs tonight.
Right, that is just an announcement for those who are interested in the programs of other committees, but in terms of the police committee, we will continue to monitor this matter very closely. Thank you very much for your participation. This meeting is closed.